And we return. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper with you. Well, Food and Dining Thursday has arrived, finally. We're with chef, author, syndicated columnist Linda Gassenheimer, my longtime friend and colleague. She's been doing a lot of traveling recently. And today we're set to discuss the foods of Latin America. I guess that would include, Linda, sofritos, empanadas, tamales, ceviches, moles, and much more. But perhaps it's storm-related because our guest, I think, is in New Jersey, so we're having a little trouble hooking up.
Yes.
But we're working on it now. But you can discuss the diabetes business.
Well, yes, I was going to talk about that and wishing everyone in New Jersey quick recovery.
And, of course, we have Fred Tasker with us as well.
Yes, of course.
Yes, you do.
Our favorite wine columnist joining us by Skype. And we'd love to have you join us, too. Our number is 800-743-9576. Did I get it right this time?
1-800-743-WLRN and also email. Bonnie will take those. radio@wlrn.org. I forgot to introduce Bonnie.
Oh, well,
could never forget Bonnie.
Our favorite co-host
here. Yes,
right.
Thank you.
Well, you know, this is November 1st. I can't believe it. It's November
time
already.
Time flies.
But it's the beginning of Diabetes Awareness Month. And as you know, I've been writing several books for the American Diabetes Association. I'm writing more books at the moment for them. It's such an important subject. Did you know 125 million people in the United States are affected by it? About 24, 25 million have diabetes. The rest are pre-diabetic. But it's a silent disease, so we don't really know how many.
And more younger people are afflicted these days.
It's considered pandemic amongst school-age children, which is really quite.
And why is that, Linda?
Well, we're not quite sure why it is. We're talking about diet and lifestyle and that kind of thing.
Inactivity.
Yeah.
Right? Those numbers are skewed towards African Americans, Native Americans, and Latin Americans. There's something to do with insulin-resistant genes. Some of it's genetic, diet, exercises, all the things we've been hearing about. But my end of it is, someone called me one day and said, "Oh, I just came back. My husband has been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes," and she was crying. She's a teacher. She says, "I don't have time, and I have no idea. They told me eat this, don't eat that. I have no idea what's for dinner." That's where I come in, and so what I did was I took two doctors to a supermarket, and I said, "Okay, you tell people what not to eat and what to eat." So go and buy dinner. Well, they'd never been in a supermarket, so that was their first problem. And so, you know, there are so many myths. What can you eat? And what people don't understand is it's not a lifetime of grilled salmon and steamed vegetables. There are a lot of other things you can eat.
And you have to lay off the Halloween candy, right?
That would be a little difficult coming up today. And then the other thing I hear, Joe, is people say to me, "Well, you know, I have all these sugarless cakes and sugarless. I'm just going to cut down on my sugar," and that's not the situation either. In fact, it's carbohydrates that you need. So if you're going to have sugarless cookies that are filled with carbohydrates, that's not. And you eat the whole box. That's
your body
not
take
a good idea.
Makes the carbohydrates into sugar. Is that correct?
Right. Exactly. Very good, Joe.
Right.
But if people have questions, and they may have a lot of questions concerning this, they can give us a call at
800-743-9576.
1-800-743-WLRN. Or also email. That's radio@wlrn.org.
Okay. And you just put the number in front of me in case I forget it again.
After 13 years.
Well, I told you I'm a slow learner. Okay, so, but that doesn't mean you have to avoid all carbohydrates. And there are, you know, the goods and the bads and the in-betweens. And the other thing people ask me was, "Oh, it's my birthday, and do I have to give up cake for the rest of my life?" And that's not true either. If you're going to have that blowout piece of cake, have it. Don't have something that you don't like because you won't feel satisfied, but have a small piece. And what the ADA, the American Diabetes Association, is telling us is that you want to count your carbohydrates. So if you have bread for lunch, don't have that slice of bread for lunch or that sandwich, because you're going to have the cake.
You or
have
the mashed potatoes.
Ahead. Right. Well, you can have a little bit.
So when you say count them, do you mean literally count them? Like yes. You should get a book and learn the carbohydrate values of every food that you're eating?
Right.
Which book should they get, Linda?
Well, there is a book out there called Fast and Flavorful, Great Diabetes Meals from Market to Table. And what I did in the book was I went through the market and I listed things that you pick up in the market but still don't have a lot of salt and carbs and everything else in them. For example, you want to have pasta sauce on your shelf because that makes a quick and easy dinner for a lot of things. So I've given you what to look for on the label. It may not be exactly what it says in the book, but it'll be close. And keep that on hand because you can do a lot of things with it. But then think brown rice. And they've got 90-second brown rice, 60-second brown rice. Goes in the microwave. It's so simple and easy to make. Whole wheat breads.
Now, so there's less carbs in the brown rice rather than the white.
It's not that there's less carbs. Your body digests them more slowly. And that's the key. To have it on a very simple explanation that the key is you don't want to have, let's say, a white baked potato. Okay, you can have it, but you need to have other things as well or a small amount. But it's quickly digested. Your body produces insulin to turn that food into energy and all, but it's digested. So what happens? Just insulin's running around your body looking for more food, and that's why about an hour or two later you're craving for something. So then what do? You go to the machine at work and you get maybe some potato chips.
So you talked about reducing your salt intake. So I guess what you need to do is increase maybe the spices and herbs to kind of make that a little more palatable.
Good. Yes, exactly.
And I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Are your recipes with more spices and herbs?
Yes, and they're recipes from all around the world. And what I do in my books and all is that you read the recipes, it's a whole meal planned, but let's say you want to substitute broccoli for green beans or something, chicken for fish. That's okay, but you get an idea of how much you should be eating and what you should be eating and how to organize it. You kind of have to divide your plate. Let's say it's a 10-inch plate. So you cut it in half, and half of that plate should be some vegetables. A quarter of that plate can be a starch, and a quarter of that plate can be a lean protein. And that doesn't mean you can't have steak and pork. That's the first question people ask me. You can, but think in terms of lean cuts. So anything with loin, sirloin, tenderloin are leaner cuts of meat, and you can have those.
And what about vegetarians and vegans? How do they, is it easier for them if they're diabetic?
Well, it's not exactly easier because you need a balance, and you need to have the proteins. And sometimes you'll think of, well, I'm going to have my, if it's vegetarian, they might have cheese or something like that. Vegans, you have more beans. But you can't just load up on them to get the amount of proteins you want. So you have to be very careful. You have to look at that carefully. And you have to know what you're doing.
And I suppose you need to get up off the couch and exercise a little more.
Yes, Joe. You're looking
walks.
With a very sad face.
Take walks and go to the gym and...
Exactly. Right. So there are some facts, and I'm sure Fred's going to weigh in here because can we have alcohol?
Yeah.
Right, Fred?
Yeah, that's right. I have seen on the American, Dietetic Association website that in many cases 4 ounces of alcohol can be okay, but I don't really want to recommend that because I'm not a doctor, and I think probably people, if they have diabetes, ought to ask their doctor about it before they do that.
Well, I can give you an answer from the American Diabetes Association, and that is that men can have 2 glasses of wine a day. That's a 5-ounce glass, or spirits, which would be 1.5-ounce pour of spirits. But watch those mixers that go with those spirits.
Does it depend on the type of diabetes, whether it's 1 or 2?
Type 1 diabetes is an autoimmune disease, and that is a different disease from type 2, actually.
But we're mostly talking about type 2.
But it's the same amount of eating. I mean,
Boy, 10 ounces of wine, that's the whole bottle is only 24 ounces. So
your happy day,
generous.
Fred?
Sorry, girls.
Yeah, what about women, Linda?
One glass, one, 5 ounce.
Oh, pour. One glass, okay.
Yeah, and yeah, not really every day, you know.
War, so it balances out.
Sorry, Fred?
We men have to go to war, so it balances out.
I'm not sure what kind of war you're going to, Fred. But on that note, we're going to take a break. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we're talking about Diabetes Awareness Month starting in November. We'll take a short break here, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we were going to be talking with Maricel Priscilla. Her latest book is Gran Cucina Latina, The Food of Latin America. And it's a major history and collection of the cuisines from Mexico to Argentina and all the Spanish and Portuguese-speaking countries in between. Now, Maricel was to be with us today. I did speak with her yesterday, and things were okay, but she lives in New Jersey.
Yeah,
and
who knows
she's,
what's going
so
on there.
We've lost contact with her today.
We tried our best.
Right, and but she will be at the International Book Fair. So you can see her there. She'll be there at November 17th, 12:30 on Saturday. And then on Sunday, she's going to be giving a cooking demonstration November 18th at noon in the Wine Theater at the Miami Culinary Institute. So be able to find out more about that there. It's an amazing book. I'm looking at it now. It's 6 inches thick. It's got 500 recipes and 900 pages. And she goes on and on about the whole of Latin America, the similarities and the differences in the cultures, Latin-speaking, Spanish-speaking cultures, and also Portuguese-speaking
I understand
cultures.
She's a historian of Spanish medieval life.
Yes. Yes, and I've been friends with her for many, many years, and she's really a wonderful historian and a great chef, and as I mentioned, she also has 3 restaurants in New Jersey that she told me are out of commission now. So
are we ever going to get to dinner in minutes? Or?
Yeah, we're going to have dinner in minutes, and we're sorry that we don't have her with us, but we're wishing her well, and we're wishing everybody who's affected by this storm well as well. Well, my dinner in minutes today was Latin, of course, because we were going to be talking about Latin foods. Catalonian paella. It's a traditional Spanish dish. And I learned about that when I was in Catalonia at a restaurant. And I noticed that the paella is made with pasta instead of rice.
Mm.
And I suppose since we're talking about Diabetes Month, you could make it with a whole wheat pasta as well.
You know, I had that in Barcelona one time. It's really excellent.
Did you? Yes?
Yeah. I liked it a lot.
Well, it's very, very good. And the chef told me it's a centuries-old dish from the Mediterranean area of Valencia and Catalonia, and I adapted it to make it for dinner in minutes. And this dish, unlike my other dinner in minutes, this is going to serve about 6 people. So it's a great dish for a party if you're having friends over, really simple and easy. And so you sauté, buy some chorizo. And saute that, chop it in small pieces.
Sausage,
right? And some onion in a paella pan. And if you don't, just a big, big skillet, or if not, 2 skillets. I had some garlic to it, and then some clam juice. Then a little white wine and saffron. Now, saffron is a little expensive, but a little bit goes a long way. But you could also use
beholder. That's the thready gold stuff.
The thready gold stuff. But it really makes a big, big difference. Bring that all to a boil, and then you add orzo, which is that little rice-shaped pasta. So it makes it easy to cook and serve. And it cooks about 8 minutes. Then I add some zucchini, some pimento, cook it a little bit more, some frozen peas, and then some shrimp. And as soon as the shrimp turns pink, it's done, and you're finished, and you're ready to serve it. So that recipe and a photo is at...
That's saying something to have paella in 15 minutes.
That's right. There you go. Well, it's at dinnerinminutes.com, and please also follow me on Twitter, at L. Gassenheimer. Bonnie, did you have someone there email?
No, this is about American the American Diabetes Association is behind the national movement to stop diabetes. It gives a few websites. It encourages Americans to take action to help stop diabetes. You can take action during American Diabetes Month by visiting facebook.com/AmericanDiabetesAssociation or stopdiabetes.com or by calling 1-800-DIABETES.
Or just Google American Diabetes
Association.
Right. The Awareness Month is going to go through this whole month.
Right.
By the way, if you want to see some diabetes videos, I have some on YouTube. Gassenheimer, Diabetes Gassenheimer YouTube, and there's about 4 videos, quick and easy meals. There's one meal there where you can tuna. Tuna only takes a couple of seconds on each side, and I mix it with, and then I mix some Dijon mustard, a little marmalade, orange marmalade with it, makes the sauce really easy. Open a salad, and you're good to go. But Fred Tasker, what are we drinking today?
Well, I was going to talk about Latin American wines, but that might be a little irrelevant now that we haven't been able to reach our source. So I thought I might mention a couple of things that would go nicely with that great paella that you were talking
okay.
about.
Okay, and then we could talk about some Latin wines as well, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, north of Madrid and all surrounded by mountains and rivers and things are two major wine regions that are called Rioja and Ribera del Duero. And they make some of Spain's most popular and actually most affordable wines. In these areas, the red Tempranillo grape is the dominant one, and it's very user-friendly, full of cherry and raspberry flavors, soft and tannin and acid, and often has a hint of minerality. So the wines are light and soft enough to sip as aperitifs, but they're also crisp and fruity enough to serve with tapas, roast pork and chicken, even lamb, and that paella.
Well, that sounds good to me.
Like many Spanish wines, these are aged longer than their counterparts in other countries before they're being released for sale. For $20, you can get a red wine from Rioja that is made in 2005. And if you go to a supermarket right now and look at the California cabs, you're more likely to see 2010 or 2009. And a lot of that is because the wineries have been family-owned for generations, so they don't have to answer to the stockholders. So just a couple of quick examples. The 2008 Conde de Valdemar Crianza, which is from Rioja, is 90% Tempranillo and 10% Mazuelo, and it has aromas of oak and vanilla and flavors of ripe tart cherries and licorice, and it's only $15. It's a heck of a wine for that price.
Wow.
And if you want to make, in some cases, I guess they make that paella with seafood instead of chorizo and that sort of thing. And you could get the Conde de Valdemar Cantabria white wine, which has a golden hue and aromas of flavors of vanilla, citrus, and minerals. And it is also $15. So it's quite a bargain.
Well, those are good bargains. So, but if you're going to be having some Latin foods, Fred, what would we be drinking?
Well, I always say that when you serve a meal from a particular country, you should serve the wine from the same country. That's because the two have grown up together often for centuries, so they naturally, they've come to get along with each other. For example, in Brazil, one of those churrasco restaurants that serves those huge portions of grilled pork and goat and chicken and sausage and everything might serve a glass of Tannat, spelled T-A-N-N-A-T. And that's a sturdy red wine from grapes. They're actually grown not that far from the equator, but they're way up in the mountains, so it's cool enough to make good wines. And the Miolo family winery makes one for $13. You can find it. It might be a little hard to find, but if you go to winesearcher.com, that's wine-searcher.com, you can find where to buy it. Another kind of surprising find is in Mexico, wine offerings were pretty rudimentary until fairly recently. But now a series of boutique wineries has sprung up in the Valle de Guadalupe, which is in Baja California. Okay. And here it doesn't matter how far south they are because they are connected by gaps in the mountains to the Pacific Ocean, right. And they get those cool ocean fogs.
Okay, Fred, that sounds really wonderful, but we're out of time.
Okay,
sounds like great advice as always, Fred. Thank you so much.
Always your pleasure.
And to tell everyone to be aware that this is November is Diabetes Awareness Month, and it's something that we all should really know more about. And actually, you know, the American Diabetes Association tells me this is the way we all should be eating. Bonnie and Joe, great to be with you.
Good to see you again.
Likewise. Thank you, and thank you, friend.
And I hope you enjoyed your paella.
Indeed.
Well, next week we'll be talking with Chef Chris Wessel with his new restaurant venture called Florida Cookery. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.